everybody. Welcome back to Dollar Dollar Bills, a way of life to build personal wealth and financial freedom. It's Ashley here, and I mentioned it in the previous episode in our previous podcast of total cost of ownership for pets. Well, I wanted to deep dive a bit on total cost of ownership, if you will, for kids, because it's also a really interesting topic. Also, I'm seeing more and more, and I'll share with you guys some numbers that are quite alarming, but the cost to have kids has risen dramatically over the last 6, 7, 8 years, and it keeps rising. And I think it's very evident just in the past couple of years with inflation why that's happening. But I wanted to touch on some of the big aspects that really consume and constitute those numbers. And as I'm going through the general numbers that I'm finding and the percentages that we're looking at and allocating to kids, I want to also take the opportunity to go through my personal experience now that I have two kids. Mine is caveated as much as any unique situation or unique person, unique families would be, because I went from having a W-2 full-time job to quitting my job to starting a business. So there's a lot of caveats in there in that the variables have changed over time as well. But I think it still tracks well with what I'm finding from a general averaging number standpoint. When you break down all these specific categories and what those costs look like, and really some of the big ones that I think are really the most jarring to people. And I've alluded to this in my past stories with having Sophia, our second child, putting her in daycare at 9 months. That was in many ways really nice because I was able to kind of get back to working full time again, but in many ways alarming and scary and jarring when your childcare costs are more than your mortgage. It's definitely an eye-opener. So I wanted to talk through kind of all of these things with you guys and just give you some insight into why more and more people are choosing or actively choosing not to have kids because of costs and really what it can do to your bottom line. So let's start with the specifics. I'm going to go into each category specifically, and then I will give you what the new kind of rough numbers are that I'm finding as of 2022 for the total cost of ownership for your child up to the age of 17, which we also know that doesn't really, the financial support doesn't necessarily stop. We're actually seeing that it's increasing and it's lasting longer into, I know for my own childhood, my own perspective, my parents supported me up until I graduated college. So well into when I was 22 plus, I know a lot of people still live at home and still rely on their parents well into their mid to upper 20s. So these numbers I think are also a bit conservative if I'm looking at my own numbers, but I wanted to share them just so you guys have a benchmark of what it could cost you if you're not already well aware of that. So the first one I want to dive into is housing. And it's funny because when I looked into some resources, they were calling out housing, one being about 33% of our income. So it's a big chunk of our income, right? But I want to deep dive on this topic less in the numbers and more on the trend that I see both personally and also just in the US specifically. And it's something that I've talked to people that I have, whether it's colleagues or bosses, people that I've met in the professional life that did not live or grow up in the US. And it's not a trend that we're seeing anywhere else in terms of feeling the need to grow your house, grow your housing situation for children. Personally speaking, I did not move or increase the size of our home for children. We did buy a house before we had kids, and that house is still the house I'm in. We did, and it's in a different podcast, a different episode, we did increase and put money into the amount of space that we had. We actually added kind of like a little, what we call a little pod, which isn't really a living space, but it is a temporary area for just to give us some more square footage. And so that was definitely an impact on our bottom line from a housing standpoint that was a direct decision based on adding our second child to the household because we lost our guest room. I have family that comes in from out of town a couple of times a year, so we wanted to have a solution for that without having to move. And then my husband wanted his own space, his own office, because I have my own dedicated office in the house. So those were decisions that we had to make I mentioned to you guys about how much that costed us in our overall housing episode. I think just roughly speaking, it was like $50,000. So, you know, it was no small chunk of change, but I do directly associate that with adding to our family and expanding. So that is a cost that I need to associate with kids. But I will say, I know people who make it happen where they have multiple children in a single bedroom. They have kids sleeping in their own room, especially young kids, babies. So I don't think it's a requirement. I think it's a US perception that we have to expand our living quarters to expand our family. And that's not necessarily the case. So I do want to kind of caveat that. The next one is food. So food comprises anywhere from 15 to 25% of your income. And the numbers I'm seeing is people are spending between $1,000 to $1,300 a month, specifically when you're adding kids into the mix. So this is assuming you have two kids, so you have a family of four. That number is between $1,000 and $1,300 a month. I would definitely say that our grocery bills have increased significantly over the past couple of years, but it's really hard to discern where that's child related and where that's inflation related. So as I dug through our numbers, just to give you guys a sense of what I feel like is child related. And when I speak of child related expenses in terms of food and groceries, I mean, it's inclusive of wipes, it's diapers, it's the additional cleaning supplies I need because my kids, I just had a situation last night where our youngest had a really big bad spit up going through the paper towels, the laundry detergent. From an incremental standpoint, we're definitely spending more on all of those things. Food in terms of meals and snacks that we're providing for Hudson, our oldest. I am not using formula or baby food right now, but we are buying extra fruits and vegetables so I can make baby food for our youngest. So with all that said, I would say we're roughly spending about $300 to $400 a month more than we were spending without kids. And I would actually peg that at the lower end, probably about $300 more a month, just because I do feel like inflation has had a huge impact on what we're spending overall a month. But I think that $300 a month for two kids is pretty accurate. Again, caveating all of this is the amount that you're spending per category is obviously going to fluctuate throughout the years of their existence. So I do expect our food bills to increase, whereas, you know, something like maybe childcare will decrease, obviously. And so that's something to consider is all of these things will fluctuate through the phases of your child's life and through the phases of your life. So the next one leading nicely into this is childcare. Childcare, again, when you kind of zoom out and generalize, people are spending between 7% and 23% of their income on childcare. So that's anywhere between $5,000 a year and $17,000 a year. I will say personally, we blow that number out of the water. So I think from a general standpoint, that's great. But I think my reality might be closer to your reality, depending on your situation. If you have two kids in childcare or daycare full time, we went from spending about $1,565 a month for our oldest. And again, those costs go down as they get older because you can have more kids in the classroom. They can do more on their own. You're not having to worry about changing diapers and potty training and all that. They're more self-sufficient, so the costs go down. To now, we just started spending, this is our second month of spending, $3,172 a month. So that is a lot of money, in my opinion. That is actually, I mentioned it earlier, that is more than we spend on our mortgage. Again, the caveat there is soon Hudson will be going to, he has about another year in daycare, then he'll be going into kindergarten. So as long as we are sticking with the kind of public school system that we have available to us, those costs will dramatically decrease in the next 2 to 3 years. So it's a lot of money, but it's for a relatively short amount of time. If you look at the grand scheme of things, again, looking at the total cost of quote unquote ownership for kids up until 17 years old. The next one I want to talk about is college and also kind of primary and secondary education. So for college, just to give you guys a sense of how much school is right now, the average annual cost for in-state college, in-state public college, is about $24,000 right now a year and about $55,000 for private school. So take that number, multiply it out if you're planning on trying to help your child through a four-year undergrad program. So that is just total cost of college. You don't have to pay for your kids' college. I will say I feel very lucky, grateful, and super happy with the financial footing I was able to get in my adult life because my parents did pay for my undergrad. So keeping that in mind, I think there are ways that you guys can pay for that and add that into your kind of current expenses in a way that can really set them up for their financial future. But I will say that this isn't, to me, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, if you're really strapped for money and you're just getting by having kids, I would say don't worry about this expense. But if you do have some extra money, like for example, we're setting aside between $250 and $300 a month per child for college expenses. And that's gonna fluctuate. So like, there's a very strong possibility that we're not going to be able to do that in the next 1 to 2 years because of daycare costs. So also think about it this way. If you are spending money on daycare, childcare of some sort that will go away in the future, don't stress yourself to try and do everything all at once. As costs go away, because childcare is a big cost, but as that goes away, you can allocate some of that money for college expenses or for general savings for your child so that you can help them in their future needs, but it doesn't feel as overwhelming as it needs to in the present day. So like if you can only contribute $100 a month per child, that will go a long way, especially if you put it in a custodial brokerage account for them or a 529 plan for them that can get you, let's say, on average between 8 and 10% of a return. That will add up very quickly just based on the time that that money is sitting in those investments and will give them at least, and yourself at least, if you want to pay for their college, a head start. But then also, let's say you are earning more money while they're going to college and you're able to kind of also pay while they're in college and help them then. This alleviates you from having to set aside a lot of money now when you might not have it. Maybe you're not very far along in your career. And again, you have some of these really big expenses, aka childcare and also maybe healthcare. And it allows you to kind of do a little bit of both. So put aside some money now, a little bit. If you can't do that now because of daycare, I would recommend that once they're out of daycare, you use some of that money that you're quote unquote saving on that expense and allocate that, earmark that for college. But again, you don't have to, I'm not telling you to earmark $1,000 a month for college. Let's do $100, $200, $300 per child and see how that feels. I want to also preface that the numbers that I found are, at least from what I can tell, are not considering that you are paying for private school for your primary or secondary education for your kids. So that's something to keep in mind, is that is not assuming that you're paying for school in their younger years. And that may be something, again, if you have the money, if you have the resources to do it, it could just be a nice, maybe what you're paying for childcare will just end up translating into private school if that's really important to you and if you have the money to do it. But I would suggest, recommend, and point out that it's not a requirement to put them in private school. And I want to make sure you are set up yourself before you take on any of these extra costs for your child, that you're contributing to your retirement, that you have enough in your emergency fund. Because if you don't have those things covered, don't even think about private school for your kids. I don't even want you to consider that as an option. But if you have all of these other things kind of checked off the list, then fine, look into it. But I do want to say the overall cost that I will share with you guys at the end of this episode is not considering private school for primary and secondary education. Healthcare is another big one that I didn't realize, honestly, at all. I didn't realize that it would be such a jump in cost with having kids. And Again, I did a whole like story and post on Instagram of having my second child. So that's just the pregnancy and birth piece of it, which was already a significant amount of money. But then you have to put them on your healthcare plans. And you have them on your healthcare plans, you can do it up to like age 26. So that is a long time where you're paying premiums. I'm not even talking about the out-of-pocket costs. Once you take them to the doctor, they have an injury, they have an illness, and then you get a cost or a bill from your providers. I'm just talking about the premiums, the known costs that you're paying monthly to add your kids to your insurance. So I will say, from my perspective, from my experience, when I was a W-2 full-time employee, so this will probably sound fairly similar to you guys who are working for an employer. Before I was single, I was healthy. I think I was paying somewhere in the $35 to $50 a month range. Well, that increased significantly once I put my kids on a family plan. And so basically we increased our premiums by like $300 to $500 a month just for the premiums for health insurance, okay? So I will say, if you have an employer, you are going to be better set up and you're gonna be better positioned to pay less because your employer is going to be paying some sort of subsidy for your healthcare, okay? And it's employer to employer unique and specific. Some employers have really, really nice healthcare, some don't. So what I experienced personally was about $300 to $500 a month increase to put my kids on my plan. And that was not including my husband. That was just Hudson at the time. I didn't have a chance to add Sophia to that plan because I ended up quitting my job and going independent. But as I'm recording this episode, we are spending about, actually my business is paying about $850 a month in premiums for myself and my two kids. That is not including Aldo, my husband. So healthcare, and again, I think the caveat here is also healthcare as a self-employed person is going to be one of your biggest costs. And it was definitely eye-opening, definitely a bit shocking for me. But that is, I think, even, I would say, neck and neck with childcare in terms of the shock factor that I didn't expect. And so I want you guys to plan in for this expense. If you do not have kids already, if you do have kids, you probably know what I'm talking about and you know the feeling. But healthcare was a big incremental expense for me once kids were involved. Some other just small minor costs, and when I say minor, I still don't think they're actually minor, but clothing, the amount you pay per piece of clothing for kids is obviously less, a lot less than what you pay for yourself, but you go through clothes so quickly because they grow so quickly. So I budgeted we spend about $500 a year on clothes. I will caveat that we get a ton of clothing from friends who gave us, you know, hand-me-downs, to my in-laws, to my parents, just provide clothing throughout the year for our kids. So we're very blessed in that we do have other resources that can help us in that category. So I think that $500 a year is pretty low, but that's basically what we spend on clothing per year right now. I put toys in a category, but toys to me is like presents, gifts, things that we gift our kids, whether it's for their birthdays or holidays like Easter, Christmas, Valentine's Day, etc., etc., which honestly I didn't even think about until I had kids. And, you know, also I would consider gifting other kids presents because now Hudson's invited to all of his classmates' birthdays. And I will say we've already had 4 or 5 this year. It's insane. So all of that said, we spend about $1,000 a year on gifts, toys, things, stuff like that. So again, keep those things in mind as you're thinking 0 to 17 age range. Travel and vacations. I actually have not looked at that specifically. We budget in for that a year, but I haven't looked at the incremental increase there. So I don't have good numbers, but I will say, think about how much a plane ticket is now. Think about how much it is, like if you want to go to Disney World, how much a ticket is to get into a theme park. And consider your child's age and consider that it could be an additional cost in and of itself, like you were to be paying for another adult. So for flights, My son now has to pay for his own seat. We're hoping to get a couple of trips in where Sophia is younger than two here soon, so she won't have to pay or won't have to need her own seat. But if we want to go internationally, we have to buy a passport. Like I said, Hudson, we need to buy three flights. We had to buy three flights whenever we flew for our wedding. That was not cheap at all to actually fly to Costa Rica. So thinking of extra carry-on and checked bags, and considering those expenses, thinking of lodging, do you need a multiple bedroom house? So there's a lot of caveats, I think, with travel. And I would say maybe not double what you would spend on travel, but probably I would consider that you're spending probably about 60% more than you would normally spend on travel if you didn't have kids. So that is also a big cost to consider. I know that travel can be a very optional cost throughout the year, and depending on your working situation, depending on, you know, just your general overall income situation, that can fluctuate from one trip a year to 10 trips a year. So that number fluctuates wildly, but I wanted to touch on it because it is also an expense I didn't really plan for or consider, I think, fully whenever we had kids, especially once they hit 2+ and you want to fly. Same thing with like rental cars. If you want to get a rental car, you can't just get a small car anymore. You have to get an SUV, a large SUV. So incrementally, that can add $100 or $200 to the overall cost of your rental car, which I'm finding out the hard way. So that's fun. Okay, so those are kind of just the breakdowns by category of some of the things that I wanted to touch on that I feel like kids impact the most. I will say that what I'm seeing everywhere is a study or a simulation of this was done back in 2017. And that number for the total cost of raising a child to the age of 17 was about $233,000. They redid that study. They redid the analysis and the research on this as of 2022. So that's basically a child born in 2017 to the point where they are 17 years old. So 2032, how much that would cost to raise them. And it has increased to about $310,605 total. That's about $17,000 a year. And that is for raising two kids. So that is, in my opinion, a shockingly large amount of money and something that you need to consider if you don't have kids and you want to have kids. I want you to consider if you can honestly afford to have kids or if you need to maybe live close to family so they can help from a childcare perspective. If you need to maybe go back to school and before you do this and maybe get a better paying job or, you know, think about your situation because I want you guys, again, to not have children at the cost or detriment of your own rich life, your own financial freedom, your own financial independence. And if you're not able to save for an emergency fund, if you're not able to spend less than you're bringing in a month, if you're not able to save for retirement, I really want you to take a good hard look at what you can do if kids are such a high priority for you, what you can do to maybe reduce your costs, increase your income, do a combination so that you can set yourself up before having kids in a way where you can afford it and it's not strapping you for cash. So those are numbers I wanted to share with you guys. A little shocking, but also very realistic. I'm feeling every bit of these numbers, to be honest with you guys right now. I already shared with you my childcare expenses alone. So we are definitely feeling those numbers adding to our family and expanding. So I hope you got some good information and good insights out of this episode and this podcast. And in the meantime, remember, respect yourself by respecting your money. And we'll talk soon.